Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome back. My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. This time we're covering Pokemon, the first movie.
Pokemon, gotta catch 'em all.
Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm. First movie.
Yes.
This movie has so many colons in it. Pokemon, colon, the first movie,
hyphen.
Colon, hyphen, Mewtwo Strikes Back.
It's like Dead Reckoning Part 1.
There was a big hubbubaloo in the Discord because people were like, which Pokemon movie is it? And we're like, the first movie. And they're like, this one? No.
It's one called the first movie.
Yeah.
It's complicated. It's the one from 1998. IMDb says that it runs for an hour, 36 minutes, but that's the pure Japanese version. The one that was released in America and probably elsewhere in the West is only an hour and 14 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I had to rent it for like $4.
I did too. Yeah.
So
money well spent.
The plot is scientists genetically create a new Pokemon, Mewtwo, but the results are horrific and disastrous.
Horrific.
That's offensive to Mewtwo.
Yeah. Why are you clapping at Mewtwo? No wonder he struck back.
Yeah. So this movie was chosen by one of our patrons, Ruben.
Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez.
Yeah. A good friend of mine. He follows me on Letterboxd. And so he's probably already seen that I rated this movie 1 star. And I think my review was clone Pikachu slaps the shit out of regular Pikachu for 5 straight minutes.
Yeah.
That was my review.
Use that for 5 minutes.
I was like dying laughing. But, you know, I didn't hate it as much as that says. It's just I just can't in good conscience rate it higher.
Sure.
Yeah. It is a movie purely for children, like TVY7, like rated G, like it's for tots, you know. Yeah. So there's that. And I was a huge Pokemon fan as a kid.
Were you really?
I was.
I don't know if I knew this about you.
So let's talk a little bit about our experience with this. Is this the first time you've seen this movie, Steve?
No, it is not.
I saw this. This might be the first movie I ever saw at a movie theater.
Really?
I always say it's like Gladiator or something. But then when I look at the dates, it can't possibly be because I saw the Lord of the Rings movies prior to Gladiator. Because one of my earliest theater memories is watching Gladiator with my parents and my mom going, it's too loud.
Are you not entertained, mother?
She was not entertained. But yeah, I definitely saw this like with a friend and his mom took me to this. And I have like if I close my eyes, I can see like the front doors and like the posters and being like out later than I'm supposed to be and like differentness going on. Right. So this might be the first movie that I saw in theaters. But yeah, I used to come home from school every day. And I think Pokemon, the show, came on at 4 o'clock and I would trek through
WB. Was that WB64 around here?
Might have been. I think it was. Mm-hmm. And so I would trek to my friend Tyler's house, who I was only friends with for a few months. I would go from my apartment through the woods to his house. Mm-hmm. And he would always
be turning Pokemon on and like eating cool snacks. I couldn't afford like Gushers and stuff. And yeah, so that's what I would do after school.
Yeah, the Johnny's Toys key.
He definitely did. He went to the castle. So yeah, I watched the show and I collected the cards. I never played the game to this day.
The video game? Did you play the card game?
No, the card game. I just had the cards.
Oh, okay.
I just looked at them and collected them and traded them. I never actually like played the card game. I think
that's most people's experience.
Pokemon, what was it? Red and Blue?
Red and Blue was the first one, yeah.
I played those and I played like Yellow a little bit, and what was it? Silver eventually came out.
Silver and Gold, yeah.
But after that, I'm done. And I played Pokemon Snap, the photography game
on the N64.
Yes,
yeah.
I loved. For some reason, that was like super fun. It shouldn't be.
You're like throwing shit like Charmander dance, so I can take a great photo.
Yeah, when you tell someone what it is, it sounds so dumb.
Well, they made a
Gyarados. You had to get him to come out of the waterfall.
Waterfall, yeah. They made a sequel to that game on the Switch maybe 2 years ago or so. And my buddy got it. And I was like, oh, man, can I borrow? I have such great memories of Pokemon Snap. And he's like, yeah. And I borrowed it from him. And I started playing. I'm like, yeah, these games are terrible. Like, this is the dumbest thing.
And I played Pokemon Go with Andy like for a day. Like the day it came out, you remember when
2016?
You remember when the world stopped?
Yep, for Pokemon Go.
And Andy and I were in Louisville.
It was a great summer.
We were in Louisville, Kentucky to meet Chuck Palahniuk. And it was like 3 hours before the event was supposed to start. And that was the day Pokemon Go came out. So we drove around Louisville and walked around Louisville, you know, like finding Pokestops and trying to capture them. I was like, this is so fun. And I'd literally never played it again. I have friends who are in their 30s. Who 7 years later still play this every day.
Like that's commitment.
They have apps that you can download to like
tell you how powerful your Pokemon are.
No, I mean, they have apps that will raid Pokestops for you as you drive by them now. And like, yeah.
I still have it on my phone. I play it from time to time.
You still go?
I still go from time. I don't do it every day, but.
And my son's into Pokemon cards now, or he was briefly. And it was like, there's all these Pokemon I've never heard of. Cause like,
yeah, there's like over 1,000 of them now.
There was only 250 when
you
we stopped were kids.
250. Well, the original games were 150 because Mew is 151.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was 150. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I stopped at 250 then.
Yeah. That would have been
like
silver.
Gold and silver. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I stopped at 250. So watching this movie, there was a lot of pleasure in like, oh, I remember that Pokemon. Mm-hmm. I remember that one. Always a huge Pikachu fan. Of course. Mm-hmm. I think Pikachu is a gold mine. He's so cute. Mm-hmm. Like I actually
nail that cartoon.
Like there's Mogwai. There's Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
If you were gonna make a list of like just gold mine cuteness, which I'm considering doing for a video, I think Pikachu is number one.
Yeah.
Something about the relationship between Ash
up there.
And Pikachu actually does work for me. Mm-hmm. There was a moment, even in this movie, even at 34 years old, where I was brought almost to tears just because like the voice
almost
it was there. Like you get that you get that lump.
Was it the punching scene?
No, that was just hilarious.
The stone scene.
It was I think it was when he was chasing after Pikachu to rescue him from the cloning machine. But they're like the voice actor's so good at like even though all Pokemon can do is say their name.
Yeah.
It's so emotive with Pikachu specifically. Like the other ones, it's just dumb. Like Squirtle, you know.
Right? Oh, don't you trash Squirtle.
Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur.
And it's like, okay.
Squirtle.
You know the hilarious one? Dude, I have no recollection of this Pokemon. But when Dugong shows up for a second.
Dugong.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is that?
I have a note in my notes. I was like, emotional moment. Dugong just ruined it.
Yes, because exactly.
It was like an emotional beat. And then you got this dumb seal going, Dugong.
That was probably where I was about to cry. And then Dugong ruined it. You're right.
I always love the Pokemon that like. Because they all say their name in some way, shape or form. But there's the ones that like fucking just give up. Like the Venusaur ones was like.
I
don't even give a shit.
Yeah,
I'm 2 days to retirement.
What's the mushroom one again?
Vileplume.
Yeah, Vileplume.
Yeah,
my champ. So and the Jigglies, those are hilarious.
Jigglypuff and Wigglytuff.
Yeah, Wigglytuff.
Yeah,
Wigglytuff.
And then fucking what's Psyduck is so neurotic.
Yeah, I love Psyduck.
What is going on there?
Love it. This, if you haven't noticed, this episode is going to feature a lot of Pokemon impressions, I think. Because that used to be. So the very first podcast I ever did was with Phil. Called Bonus Activated. Don't look for it. You can't find it anymore. But it was a video game podcast. And one of the segments that we would do from time to time, we called it like Beyond the Veil or something. And the premise of it was scripted. It was a scripted skit. The premise being like, if video games are real, because it was a video game podcast, this scenario had to have happened or could happen. And isn't that funny? And we did a Pokemon skit. And of course, like I did all of the voices because of course I did. I just love doing these voices so much, and it's such a dumb premise, the world of Pokemon, right? Well, it's silly, but it works, right? Because as a kid, you've got all these cute little monsters, and you can collect them all, because we all love collecting shit, right? So you got to collect these little monsters. Oh, if you battle, you can battle them, that's cool. If you battle them enough, they'll evolve into another form of that monster. How cool, right?
No, it is cool. Like from a monster hunter standpoint, like there's some neat world building there, but it's also kind of dark. You know, these Pokemon are enslaved, mm-hmm. and
they live in a ball.
They're animals that seem to be in captivity that you make fight, mm-hmm. you know, and they have like the relationship between Pikachu and Ash is supposed to, and some of the care that like Brock and Misty have for their Pokemon are supposed to kind of inoculate you to the obvious like slavery that's going on. Mm-hmm. And also, it's a cash grab. Like, it's 100% and endless. There's a new toy to buy. There's new cards to buy. And it's genius, and it works. And it's many, many billions of dollars made. And they were smart for doing it. But this movie, I'm of two minds, right? Because obviously, there's a lot of nostalgia. I love the world of Pokemon. And it means a lot to a lot of kids. But also, it is very blatantly, like, this movie specifically was just created to unveil their new line of toys. Like, their new, this is the most powerful Pokemon ever. And it was a movie supposed to come out in conjunction with the release of the Mewtwo, and just it just wants to sell Mewtwo stuff, and it does very effectively.
Well, Mewtwo is always in the game, the first game, but you're right in that the show was always the TV show specifically was meant to come out to sort of like hype up the world and get people to do the cash grabbing, and this movie was supposed to be originally, when it was first conceived, was supposed to be kind of like the show finale to season one, but then obviously like it was such a runaway hit that they're like, well, we're just going to keep going with it. And I think this actually ended up coming out like the second to last. Like if you watch this in order, that like if you watch the first episode of the TV show, this movie fits in, I think, like it would be like the penultimate thing before you watch the season one finale. That's why like at the end he's like, I will wipe away your memories, because they don't talk about it ever again.
I will never forget this moment, but you won't remember a thing.
Right.
Well, this movie was very successful. It grossed over $172 million at the worldwide box office and sold 10 million home video units in the US alone, including 4.2 million VHS sales that earned over $58 million in the year 2000. So, you know, 250 million plus easily that you can right off the bat compute from this movie. Mm-hmm. Very successful. Pokemon ruled the world when I was a kid. And I guess it's still really popular because my son was buying cards like crazy. So,
oh, yeah. Pokemon is still alive and well. My girlfriend's boys love Pokemon. It's one of the first things.
Didn't it go out of style for a while? Like the value of the cards themselves just tanked and then just rose again out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, they have that dip. I mean, if you have like an original printing of a holographic Charizard, I think that's worth like $3,000 in the card game.
Isn't one of the Charizards is a couple millies, isn't it? Like the first, like the ones we had.
Oh, I don't know if it's like a couple million. I think the last time I checked, it was like $3,000, but that could be very different now because those things are always fluctuating and changing. So this movie is kind of I have a weird relationship with this movie in that obviously huge Pokemon fan. When I was a kid, I adored it. I like collected the cards. I played the game. I was super into it. I would wake up and watch the TV show before I went to school. So I wake up super, and you could like, I think it aired on WB64, like at 6 a.m. or whatever time it was I was getting up to go to school. Cause I remember watching it while I ate breakfast every morning. And I loved it. And my mom took me to see this movie in theaters, And did you get the cards? Like there was like four cards you could get with your ticket. It was like Electabuzz, probably a there was like four different Pokemon you can get. And then when the video, when it came out on video release, I think the video release came with a Mew card. But anyway, so we went.
I do remember the Mew card.
Yeah, I had the. I remember the. I can picture the Electabuzz photo because I think I got that one. But we went and saw this movie in the theater, and at the end of the movie, my mom was like, "Did you like it?" And I was like, "Yeah." But I specifically remember I did not like this movie when I saw it, and this movie actually was the reason I stopped liking Pokemon in my like junior high through high school years. Because I did stop because it became like, oh, I'm old. This is for babies, right? Mm-hmm. I went through that phase. But this movie, for some reason, soured me on the whole.
This movie.
Like when I was a kid, yeah. I was like, maybe I'm too old for this now. Like I legit remember having that conversation with myself as a child.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I played Red and Blue and Yellow. Didn't play any of the other ones until like around 2011, 2012, when Pokemon Black and White came out. Then I started playing Black and White, the games, and I've played every single Pokemon game since then. So I even played, what was the one that came out? Violet and Scarlet, new one.
Like the Violet and Scarlet is the card sets I've been buying my son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the most recent game. In fact, my favorite Pokemon is from Black and White. Oshawott, for those of you who are in the know. It's the most adorable little sea otter ever.
Dugong.
Do you have a favorite Pokemon?
I don't. No? I don't. As a time, it was like Alakazam. I like the psychic one. I just like the way they look, you know?
Yeah, it's a good one.
With the spoons and stuff.
So that's Oshawott.
Adorable.
Adorable. Just a cute little otter. Just,
every time I see anything like that, I just think, what a cash-making machine.
Yeah, it really is.
By the way, the original Charizard from 1999 actually sold. So Logic, you know, the rapper.
Yeah.
He bought a first edition grade 10 for $226,000.
Dang.
A Charizard. This was in 2020.
Dang.
This is what I'm saying. And then.
Didn't Logan Paul have like a, he spent like $1 million on a Pokemon card? Because I know he wore it around his neck when he fought at WrestleMania this past year.
Well, that same Charizard later sold at an auction. I don't know if it was his copy, but one of them sold for $350. And then another one. In 2022, March of 2022, sold for $420,000. So this is the Charizard, the hollow Charizard you would have had as a kid.
I
never had one.
I think I had one.
That sucks, doesn't it?
Here's the thing.
You want to go to Carol's Garage and maybe look around?
And some, like all of my Pokemon cards, and I had some legit cool ones. I had like Japanese printings.
So well, you're like, an insane person for not verifying, because look at this one.
Well, I cannot. She doesn't know where it is. I'd have to like go through all that shit.
The most, the Japanese Pikachu, the illustrator card.
Yeah.
That sold for $6 million.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, so like we mentioned, this movie was brought to us by Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, longtime supporter of the show.
Love you, brother.
Thank you, Ruby Rubes. He wrote in a couple things before we get into the actual like meat and potatoes of the review. He did share this story. He said, a funny story of mine. Around a year ago, I was speaking with my stepmom, who always took me to watch the first Pokemon movies, and I asked her if she remembered how we went to those movies, and she ended up confessing to me that she always fell asleep, but that I never noticed, and that when I left the movie theater, I would ask her so many things about the movie, and she would act as if she really enjoyed it. So she was lying to a child.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame her.
And he does have a question, but I'm going to save the question for the end of the recap.
Oh, okay.
But do you want to get into this whole recap?
Let's do it. So the movie starts off with this, like kind of a prequel about the creation of Mewtwo. It's from his perspective.
Life.
And
great miracle and great mystery.
And it's just this deep existential crisis, essentially, right? Like he's wondering what his purpose is. And there's a cool on the nose for kids, but in a way that's understandable because it's for kids. Good moral to this movie about, hey, the circumstances of your birth don't matter. It's about what you do with life that you're given, right?
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he wakes up, finds out that he's been the subject of scientific experiments. He was created in a lab, and that's all he's for. And the scientists are really dumb. And they just straight up tell him right to his face, you're the most powerful being anyone's ever imagined. And also, fuck you.
We can't wait to subjugate you and make you fight other Pokemon.
And laugh at you and body shame you.
We're not even weirded out that you speak.
No, not at all. Your thighs look disgusting, you know.
Like, do you have balls for fingertips?
I think you do.
Weird.
We made that. It was a joke. I told Frank at the office, let's give him balls for fingers.
He's not going to be able to grab anything.
He took me seriously. I like the scene where it cuts to his little testicle hands and then he like closes his fingers angrily. No. But no. The balls just get closer together slightly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, there's this whole, like, since the beginning, humans and Pokemon alike have searched for life's meaning. Like, this whole big, grand existentialist thing, and it's and this nuts.
This movie is why I only rated it 1 star. This movie only works if you are 8 years old in 1999 and you are obsessed with the show. You know what I mean? Because then you're, like, you're squirming down into your seat like, oh, man. That doobie how the world is. You know what I mean?
Doobie.
You know?
Doobie.
Gotta catch them. Oh, by the way, what they do to the theme song in this movie was a crime.
Trash. Yeah.
It was like this R&B, like, kind of over-sexualized version. It was like saxophone. And mm-hmm. I'm gonna be the very best
that no one ever was.
It's like, what is going on?
To catch them is my real test. To train them is my call.
But it should have been, it's supposed to be like, Pokemon, gotta catch them all. To my destiny.
Pokemon. We sang that at karaoke last night.
You should.
We did.
It's amazing.
It's so fun. That song's way longer than you think.
I bet. It's like the full version of Fresh Prince. That whole extra verse.
So the weird thing about this whole, so Mewtwo, you know, he destroys everything in the lab, right? He gets really, really mad. But then there's a point where one of the scientists is like, call Giovanni, have him show up. We did the thing. Giovanni, if you remember, was like the leader of Team Rocket in the video game. So he's like the mafia mob boss version of Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
And he's been funding this whole operation because he wants to have like this really powerful Pokemon that he can use to just, you know, win at battles.
Yeah.
Very forward thinking individual. But Giovanni shows up. He's like, hey man, I'm gonna help you discover your purpose, right? These fools, you can be my partner. We're gonna be partners in crime with your mind and powers and my resources, we can rule this world. This Poke world. And Mewtwo's like, okay.
I know that's so, it's so, why should I trust you? And he's like, cuz. And he's like, oh, good point. Yeah. And then he lets him put this armor on him and stuff.
Good point.
But then Giovanni makes the same mistake that the other scientists made. And that's also infuriating to me because at the end, Mewtwo's wearing the armor and he's like, it focuses your powers. It doesn't inhibit them.
It doesn't focuses suppress them,
him, right? Yeah. And then he's like, so what are we going to do? And he's like, you're going to be my slave and we're going to run the world as I say it. And Mewtwo's like, I don't like that. I just told the other guys. And he's like, too bad, sissy boy. And then Mewtwo just attacks him and breaks out and leaves. And it's like, you could have kept the subterfuge up a little bit, my guy. Mm-hmm. Like, what was your plan here?
Mewtwo, you know, he's very emotional, right? And another big thing about his character is that he is a clone of Mew, supposedly
a super
rarest,
cute version.
Yeah, like the rarest Pokemon ever who just like floats around and goes,
I love Mew. Mew's like little, Mew's little whimsical prankster nature of all power, you know, of omnipotence. Yes. Like when he's like floating behind Meowth and Team Rocket and then disappears. And anyway, it's cute.
Yeah. And fun fact, you know, that little like, that little sequence where Giovanni is training Mewtwo and he's fighting all those other Pokemon. There's a scene where he like picks up an Arcanine and Nidoking and you see the back of another trainer. That's supposed to be Gary, who is the rival in the games.
Yeah.
Gary. The kid that you always like. He's always like, hey, Gramps, whenever he sees Professor Oak.
Yeah. It's
like, Gary fucking sucks.
Yeah, because his name's Gary.
Gary.
That's a thing that Jimmy hates the name Gary.
Really?
So like, you know, whenever there's like an older man he doesn't like or something, he's like, what a fucking Gary. He'd like,
what a fucking Gary.
He thinks it sounds hilarious, like just Gary. And his name's Jimmy, so he can't really say shit, you know? But and who the fuck is Jimmy anyway? But anyhoozle. So yeah, he breaks out from Giovanni, and that's kind of the last thing. And that's the shortened version that we get. There's like a, like you said, there was supposed to be like a 25-minute Origin of Mewtwo feature, right? Or 10 minutes, something like that. And we only got 2 minutes for the US version because they thought it was too dark.
Yeah, so this is the message of the movie is completely rewritten for the US version. Like the Japanese version has like a completely different message where there's this extended prologue where the head scientist of the program that clones Mewtwo is like also trying to clone his dead daughter or something.
Ooh, that would have been a good story.
And Giovanni's like, hey, I'll fund your cloning research if you also clone this Mew thing. And he's like, cool. So it's this guy who's trying to like bring to life his dead daughter, but also bring in this...
He's being manipulated by a power-hungry man.
Yep, and then because they're being brought up together in, like, the tubes, I guess, their minds are psychically linked, so there's this, like, really...
Have you seen this?
I haven't seen the full thing, but I've seen, like, photos of it, and I've read descriptions of it, because it's kind of hard to find. But I've seen, like, brief snippets of it, but it's, like, the two of them that just, like, have, like, a baby Mewtwo and, like, this young girl, and they're floating in, like, just nothingness, and they're talking to each other. And she's like, wow, like we're so connected. Like, who's to say you're not a human as well? And he's like, what's a human? And she's like, oh, you look like a Pokemon. He's like, what's a Pokemon? It's like, it doesn't matter which one you are. You're here and you're awesome. You have thoughts. Isn't that great? And so they have this little relationship. And then I think the daughter like ends up dying or something and doesn't actually like get fulfilled. So this Mewtwo doesn't have its buddy and it forgets about its buddy. So it forgets the message of the story, which is like, it doesn't matter how you're born or what your birth is. What matters is you're alive now. And it's a very, like, it doesn't matter who you are.
Way better.
And yeah. And so in the Japanese version, Mewtwo is very much a sympathetic villain and not a Pokemon Hitler.
Yeah.
That he ends up being in this movie. Cause in this movie, he's like, I will wipe the world. It's like a lot of like, I will wipe the world from the stench that is humankind.
Yeah.
It's a lot of really gross sort of dictatorish shit.
Genocide stuff.
Yeah. Genocide stuff. Whereas the Pokemon in the Japanese or the Mewtwo in that one is too, very
because
like,
of the cloning and
yeah, he's more like, hey, I'm cloning these other Pokemon because I'm also a clone and I want to see, he's like fighting to prove his worth of existence. Like that's why he's fighting. He's like, I want to prove to everyone that I'm worthy of existing because he has that complex.
Yeah.
Whereas in this one, he's like, I want to destroy everyone that comes across me. And we are super superior. I've made clones that have a skin condition and that's how you can tell them
my
apart.
Charizard has stripes.
Yeah.
That, by the way, that last fight was so fucking frustrating to me because they kept, for obvious reasons, thematically, like it just looks cool to them. I guess they would have like Blastoise fighting Blastoise, Charizard fighting Charizard. That's dumb. That's not how Pokemon work. You should have your Blastoise fight the Charizard and then you might win, you mm-hmm. fucking idiots, because they're weak to water.
Yeah,
am I the only one that played the fucking game?
I know. There were so many like in my notes, I'm just like, Pikachu would never hurt a Golem like that. He's rock type. That's ineffective. You can't, like Thundershock has no effect on that. You fucking idiots.
Pikachu! I love that he won't evolve Pikachu because it changes his personality. Like mm-hmm. if he became Raichu, it wouldn't be his buddy anymore.
Yeah, Raichu's a dick.
Raichu does suck.
Actually, Raichu's one of my favorites.
We also have a history in the US of doing this to Japanese films.
Yes.
A really cool story in 1984 when we got Miyazaki's first film that was in the ever distributed in the US. Like, you know, Miyazaki is a legendary director nowadays and filmmaker, but Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind, mm-hmm. It was, we edited like 21 minutes off of it and just made it inane and took all of the deep, like kind of how we did to this Pokemon movie, like all of the deep themes of like, colonizing and climate change and all the stuff he was talking about. We took all that out. And he was so,
children are dumb.
Yeah. He was so fucking mad. It's called Warriors of the Wind and it's a laughed at version of his movie, but it was so fucking, he was so angry that he made a contract, a clause that we were never allowed to edit any of his movies ever again if we wanted them at all. Mm-hmm. Right. And now we've got Princess Mononoke and we've got Spirited Away and Ponyo and Howl's Moving Castle, all these great mm-hmm. ones. Right. So then later on with Princess Mononoke, Harvey Weinstein was co-owner of Miramax. He tried mm-hmm. to edit Princess Mononoke,
of
right?
Of course he did.
Miyazaki mailed him a real katana sword with a message that said, no cuts. and like just the most blatantly threatening, like, I will fucking kill you. And that's the biggest Miyazaki dub that I have in my repertoire.
Oh yeah. If only he had.
Yeah. That would have been better because that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, we botched the intro to the movie and thereby ruining all the major themes for the most part. And then we cut to our main crew on vacation. Is that the next scene?
Yeah. So yeah, Ash, Misty, and Brock are, you know, they're always journeying around because Ash is trying to become the greatest Pokemon master that ever lived. I want to
be the very best.
Like no one ever was. And the way that you prove that is you go, you as a 12-year-old.
To catch them is your real test.
Yeah, but to train them is your cause.
That's true. Yeah,
Pokemon. But the way you do that is when you turn like 12 years old or some shit, they're like, all right, child, go unsupervised out into the world fight strangers with your pets. And hopefully,
the world.
Hopefully you'll go to towns that have a gym leader, and if you fight them good enough, they'll give you a pin.
Or sometimes you'll just be laying around hanging out and somebody will wander up, like in this scene, and go, hey, are you Ash?
Yeah,
because fuck you.
Okay. Pikachu, I choose you.
Yeah, and then Ash just mops the floor with this dude.
Yeah, easily, because Pikachu's super strong.
There is this funny, I love this funny bit where Ash is like, I'm too weak to work. And Brock's like, well, you're going to love what I have for what I'm making for lunch. It's my lazy boy, no chew stew.
Yeah, you don't even have to chew it. It's good for nursing homes and lazy people.
And this is a fun little battle because you get to see how good at it Ash is. You're introduced to his main Pokemon, his Bulbasaur, his Squirtle. But someone's watching them the whole time. He makes short work of this guy. And of course, when the dude decides to just go crazy, like, I'll just throw three Pokemon at you.
Which is against the rules.
It's totally against the rules. It's one-on-one, my guy, unless you're doing doubles. And and Ash is like, I ain't worried. I got the most OP Pikachu in the history of Pikachus right here.
Yeah. And shocks all of them.
Yeah, shocks all of them. Sure.
And I love their little, like, electrocuted, like.
And then is it Brock that goes, well, that was a shocking ending?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Good one-liners in this show.
Yeah. And the whole time, Team Rocket is watching this all play
down. Jesse.
James.
Meow. Meow, that's right.
Prepare for trouble.
Yes.
Make it double.
James's voice kills me, man.
James.
Make it double.
I love him so. Meow, that's right. Yeah, so they're watching them because Team Rocket, well, at least this trio of Team Rocket, is always trying to steal the Pikachu because they recognize how strong it is, and that's what Team Rocket does. And also there's a Fearow, which is a flying bird Pokemon that has like a camera attached to its neck.
Like a drone.
Yeah, it's taking drone footage. And after that battle, we cut to some sort of castle, and there's a woman, and she's talking to a master. But you don't know who the master is. Who could it be? Probably not Mewtwo.
Mm-mm, no way.
And she's like, shall I extend the invitation to these trainers? They seem powerful. And I guess she gets the affirmation, and they send a Dragonite with a messenger bag to deliver the note, which I thought was super cute, seeing the Dragonite just in a messenger bag.
Yeah. With his tiny wings.
Yeah. I love Dragonite. Actually, I almost died because of Dragonite.
In real life?
Yeah. It was when Pokemon Go came out.
You're trying to catch one?
No, my buddy John, his favorite Pokemon is Dragonite. Loves Dragonite. And Go came out, and he's driving. We're both driving. And of course, I'm playing Go while we're driving. He's got his Go.
Wait, so you're in the same car?
We're in the same car.
So you're not driving.
Both driving. He's driving. I'm in the passenger seat. He's just got his phone like up in that like little holder cradle.
My buddy plays Pokemon Go that way. He has one specifically for Pokemon Go, one of those like Uber driver phone holders.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it always pops up with a thing like, hey, you're going pretty fast. Don't play. Are you sure you're a passenger? And you're like, yeah, get away.
Yeah. Yes.
And on the little, you know how that has a little radar that shows you like a silhouette of a Pokemon will pop up if it's nearby. A Dragonite popped up, and he was like, we're on like a two lane, like opposite lane road.
Yeah.
And he like slams his brake and does like a legit U-turn in the middle of the street to go back. cuts off a car the other way. Oh man, there was nothing gonna stop him between that and that dragon. I think it was like a combat power 50, so it wasn't even like a strong one. But he needed to get that
dragon. Can you level him up to make him strong?
I mean, when he's like a fully evolved Pokemon at that low of a level, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more worth it to get a Dratini that's 53 and then evolve it, because then it'll like grow bigger and better. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Almost died for nothing.
But Dragonite delivers the invitation to the trio. The invitation is like a real like Star Wars hologram. Yeah.
Oh, we gotta go fight this Pokemon master.
And Brock, of course, pervs on the lady. He's like, wow, she looks great.
Brock is so horny.
He is so horny.
One of his last lines is like, God, I still love both those bitches. I tell you, they get hotter every day. And that's like the end of the movie.
Dude, the English, if you go back, I'm sure if you go on YouTube, you can find like a supercut of all of the awful shit Brock specifically says in the dubbed version of Pokemon, because I don't know if it's a translation issue or it was like made in the 90s, so people didn't like care about this type of shit. But there are some fucked up things he says. Like, there's one that comes to mind specifically where like Brock's like, wow, she could violate me any day. Like, it's legit. The word violate is used. But yeah, that's his thing. He always is horny for Nurse Joy or Police Officer Jenny.
And in this movie, yes. Yeah. But it's like a thing that he does all the time. But in this movie, I can't wait to find her.
Well, every city has a Nurse Joy.
That's true. You're right.
That's like an in-universe joke. Yeah. That like, well, you look familiar. And it's just the same person. So they decide to go. Team Rocket ends up stopping the Dragonite with a frying pan to like, because they want to, what's this party?
Yeah.
I like to party.
Meowth. That's right. I've got tons of blow.
And we see Mewtwo is in his castle. We know it's Mewtwo now because he's got the ball fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he makes a nice storm. He's stewing up a good sea surge.
Like it's like intercut with the waves of the ocean being choppy and his testicle hands swirling. And the animation's not great, but you're led to believe visually that he's creating the storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The trio end up making it to like some big
base camp.
Base camp pier type building. All these other people who have gotten invited to go to New Island. I love, what island is it? New Island.
It's a new one.
It's like New Coke, but it's an island.
Mm-hmm.
They're all trying to get to New Island, but there's the ferry's not working because the seas are all choppy. There's this super fucking random character named Miranda who's like really, really deep, who's like, this is the greatest storm that has ever.
The Russian lady?
Yeah.
Dude, she's wild.
It's from a different movie than this.
One dude takes off on his Pidgeotto, and the other one takes off or is it Pidgeotto?
Pidgeot.
And then one dude takes off on a Gyarados. And all of a sudden, instead of like, because they at first they're like, don't go out there. It's not safe, you know, because they're public servants.
Well, my Pokemon are water Pokemon. I could do that.
Yeah. But then out of nowhere, she's just like, good. A real person who's not a little pussy would just go anyway. And like, she gives this giant monologue and I'm like, well, you're a public servant. Yeah. Why are you encouraging them?
This is how you become the best. Like yes. No one ever was.
Honestly, I respect the testicles on these folks. It's almost like the Mewtwo guy. Remember the fingers he had? They were like that size. These
big.
And then we got that.
I like the Mewtwo fingers on that guy.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be tough out there as we try to navigate the many twists and turns that life throws our way. Not every problem we face has an obvious or easy solution, but talking through these issues can always bring major benefits. So whether you're dealing with a career change, relationship help, or just getting used to your new normal, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. I myself have benefited from therapy. I have benefited from BetterHelp. I was struggling to find myself and figure out who I was post-divorce. BetterHelp matched me with an amazing therapist who taught me all about codependency, what it was, and ways I can combat it and realize my whole true self. So if it sounds like therapy is the right move for you, then give BetterHelp a try. It's online, convenient, flexible, and can work with your schedule. Filling out a brief questionnaire is all it takes to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at any time. To start your own therapy journey, visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Stream Fiends. Over here at Streaming Things, we like to give a special shout out to all of our members of our Patreon, but we want to specifically shout out our super patrons for the month of August. So thank you, Becky Ladusky, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Giancarlo Gasparin, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Little Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Barrera, Conrad, David Malfara, Professor Beth RN, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, The Pedal Peddler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much, and back to the show.
Funny enough, so you mentioned the other trainers that are like, oh, you can't stop me. I'll get there. So Corey is the trainer.
Are these trainers that you know?
Oh, I wrote them down because...
But I didn't know if you knew them from the games or something.
No, I don't think they're game characters. I could be wrong about that. But I didn't recognize them. But Corey, who's the guy who flew away on the Pidgeot.
Yeah.
Fergus swims off on the Gyarados.
Oh, from Black Eyed Peas?
Yeah, it's that Fergus, yeah.
Fergus-licious?
Nisha... is the woman who gets on the dugong and swims off in the dugong. There is a fourth trainer that hops on a Firo and leaves with them.
And doesn't make it.
But isn't at the palace. So did she presumably die on the way over
Wasn't
there?
Wasn't strong enough. Pidgeot was stronger than the hurricane winds. No problem for them. I remember that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Gyarados, obviously. Like, I'm chilling. But Ash just makes it with his friends by swimming and sticking together.
Hey, it's the power of friendship, man.
But then, like, doesn't the Mew help them? At this point, the Mew shows up at some point during the storm section.
Like, I think, I can't remember. I know,
I know the Mew reveals itself by saving Ash at the end.
Right, but it also kind of follows Team Rocket around for most of the movie.
Yeah.
So Ash and friends end up getting on this Viking boat, which is... James and Jesse, and Meowth is the statue of the front of the boat. And they're like, we like to go to we're going to New Island, yes.
I didn't know Vikings were still real. Oh, they're all in Minnesota.
They mostly live in Minnesota.
Great joke. That was only in the American version.
Yeah, that's for us.
100%.
They threw us that nugget.
But yeah, the waves kind of consume the Viking ship, not before it washes away their Viking outfits. Like,
whoa, you're Team Rocket.
We don't have time for you right now.
Prepare for trouble. Yeah, such a good thing. But Misty calls forth her Starmie. Mm-hmm. Ash uses Squirtle. They swim underwater for a while. So no, I don't think Mew helps them. I think they just happen to sneak it out with their own Pokemon.
Water Pokies.
But they make it to the island.
Brock usually has rock Pokemon, right? Like that's why his name is Brock.
Yeah, okay. He's got a Onix and a Geodude, and Vulpix is his Pokemon that follows him around in this movie specifically. But they make it on the island, and the woman there is like, hey, I think she's Nurse Joy, because they mentioned like, hey, the Pokemon Center's closed because Nurse Joy's been missing for several weeks.
This is what she looks like.
Yeah.
She looks familiar.
What?
And they're like,
wow, hey, she's hot.
Aren't you Nurse Joy, the super sexy hot woman?
No.
No, I've always lived on New Island with my master.
Oh, okay.
But it's a new island. How could you always have lived here?
Don't worry about it.
But yeah, Team Rocket shows up on a Weezing, which is weird. I don't know how that Weezing survived.
I remember Weezing and coughing. That's right.
Weezing.
What a terrible Pokemon to be. Yeah, just that, have lung cancer.
That Weezing looks like you need to like take that behind the yard, behind the barn and
take it
put it out of its misery.
It's just COPD personified. As it's
so they make it into, so Team Rocket shows up. You,
secondhand smoke.
Yeah, so Team Rocket's there. Mew's kind of following them around. The trainers that were capable of the worthy trainers were the ones who made it through the storm. We meet Corey, who's like, hey, what took you so long? We kind of are introduced to Corey's team of Caesar, Hitmonlee, Venusaur, Sandslash, and Rhyhorn.
I did like Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which one did you, was on your team, both? Or did you use them, or were you just like, I like that movie references?
That's true.
Yeah.
I just, I'm, when you're talking about Pokemon that I liked, you know, and also like Machamp.
You like fighting types.
I do. I'm a simple man.
I like the punchy punch,
but I like the psychic ones too, you know.
Mm, they do complement each other.
And I don't want to be a basic bitch, but Pikachu, man.
Pikachu's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, don't act like you're like better than liking Pikachu, okay, listener out there that's judging Chris.
Lightning is dope.
Yeah.
He's super cute.
Lightning was like, I always wanted to be a Lightning trainer. So when I would play the games, like, I want a Lightning team, but you can't have an all Lightning team. That's dumb.
Because you're weak to Rock.
I don't think Lightning's actually weak against anything but Lightning, but the attacks are super ineffective to Rock.
Yeah.
Because it's ground. We also
A Diglett.
Yeah, like a Diglett.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We meet Fergus, who has all water type Pokemon. He's got a Nidoqueen. Well, actually, Nidoqueen's not water type, but they're all blue. We got Golduck, Gyarados, Tentacruel, Vaporeon, and the Seahorse one. I couldn't remember what the Seahorse was called. And then we see Nisha again, who has she has, I think, the best, most balanced team. She's got the Dewgong, Blastoise, Wigglytuff,
Dewgong,
Vileplume, and Rapidash. It's after that that the lights go out. Mewtwo is here. Ba-ba-bum. Was the Mewtwo reveal at all? Like, that's the thing. Like, because you know so much about Mewtwo, the mystique around this.
Horsey?
Is it Horsey?
Yeah, Horsea.
What does Horsey evolve into? It's the evolve form of that. It's the next one.
Let me go to my Pokedex. Yeah,
go to the Pokedex. We got to figure this out. It's the one right after that one.
Seadra. And then goes into Kingdra.
Mm. So she has a Seadra, because Kingdra was one that was introduced at a later game.
Yeah, 230. You're mm-hmm, right. Seadra mm-hmm. was the highest that this form went into. Cool.
Yeah, Team Rocket is still in the sewers trying to figure out how to get to this party.
This is making me want to play Pokemon.
It's a great game. It's honestly such a wonderful game. All of them are. And this is where you get to kind of the Mew being a little silly and messing with Meowth. Mewtwo reveals himself to all the trainers, and the trainers are like, "What? You can't be the greatest Pokemon master because you're a Pokemon. That's not how this works.
Ugh, gross.
Ew. I'm prejudiced.
You can't even vote.
That means you're not a person.
Get back in your ball."
Yeah, so Mewtwo like makes an example out of Fergus, throws him like away, and like takes out his Gyarados, which he kind of set up like, yeah, I've got a Gyarados. It's pretty powerful once you like put the effort into it. It's like the most reliable Pokemon.
Well, yeah,
ever.
Ash is really cool. He's like, you've got a Gyarados. Like he hypes people up.
Yeah, like Ash is like a G, man.
Mm-hmm.
Even though like you can fight him, he's like super supportive.
Yeah, I want to be the very best. Like no one ever was, but you're doing great.
I can't believe you actually stuck with the Magikarp for 30 levels. That's incredible.
It is.
That thing only knows Splash.
It's very difficult.
Carp.
I forgot it came from the dumb fish and then it becomes this giant dragon.
Yeah, it's like legitimately maybe the worst Pokemon, Magikarp, but if you stick with it for 30 levels, it becomes maybe one of the best ones.
Well, there's Rattata. Like that's the first thing you fight always, right?
Rattata and Raticate are trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a disease from my Pokemon.
James, Jesse, and Meowth.
What did you do with it? No, it was a Rattata. It bit me.
I was training it.
Do you like peanut butter?
Oh no.
Dougal.
Oh my god.
Everybody knows about that Pokemon trainer that fucked his Dugong. Oh, there's Gary.
Gary. Hey, Gramps. Got any more peanut butter? Team Rocket still skulking around, but they find a Venusaur, a Charizard, and a Blastoise with different levels of jaundice sitting in some sort of vat. There's like a... some weird, I like the cloning machine. It looks like a, what are those like old ancient like seashell anemites or whatever, like you would find in like fossils. It was like a circular shell, and then they had what, tentacles that would come out of the shell.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah
was the look of the cloning and this machine. Is was really
the,
neat.
This is the place where Mewtwo was born. He rebuilt it. You yeah should say that mm-hmm too. Like the same little arms that he destroyed are what comes down to grab Ash later.
Yeah. And at one point, Meowth, because he's there, like the little arms come out and grab him and try to suck him into the machine. And he does get sucked in.
He gets cloned, yeah.
And on the screen, there's like a silhouette of Meowth, and there's like a nice little callback where both...
who's team that run, Pokemon?
Who's that Pokemon?
Yeah.
That's Meowth. Because they used to do that on the TV show.
Yeah.
But Meowth is cloned, and they see like the clone of Meowth kind of end up in its own vat. And this is where they find the recording that kind of explains like, you know, what Mewtwo is and what this clone yeah is. Wow, this guy sounds like a real Pokenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein reference. Excuse me.
But we find out that Mewtwo wants to destroy the world, and your Pokemon will not be spared because they're a bunch of Uncle Tom motherfuckers. Mm. And but they're trying to appeal to Mewtwo, like, hey, Pikachu's my friend. We're a family. We count on each other. Mewtwo's like, nah, dog. I am buying it, fam. Mm-mm. No, thanks. Corey has the brilliant idea, like, hey, you're a Pokemon. That means I should be able to catch you. And he just throws a ball at him.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah, I mean, he shot a shot.
You got to make him tired, though, if you're going to catch a powerful Pokemon.
Right,
you
right beat him. Right. And unless you have a Master Ball.
Is that the rules in a fight? I can't remember. Like, you get the opponent's Pokemon?
Oh, if you fight someone one-on-one? No, they give you money.
Okay.
So if you beat someone in a Pokemon battle, they give you money.
Because Mewtwo beats them all up and then he just takes all their Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which obviously he's a dictator, but
right.
I was like, wait, is that how it works?
No. That would be a much different game.
Yeah. That'd be really even more savage.
No, instead, if you're walking around town and some kid's like, hey, you want to fight? If you beat them, you like take their money. Like, hey, I know I just killed your pet, but you're also going to need me to give me $5.
That's fair.
So Ash kind of challenges Mewtwo to a real match. And this is when Mewtwo kind of initiate, send in the clones, right? So the Charizard, Venusaur, and Blastoise clones go upstairs. And there's this really funny moment where they go into a stadium, like the door reveals an actual stadium behind the, I don't know, the dining hall that they're in. And Brock does this. Brock has this line, it's like, what? Mewtwo planned this all along. Yeah, you were going to fight the greatest Pokemon master. That's why you were going to New Island. The fact yeah that he has a stadium and is going to fight you with Pokemon is not a reveal of a master plan, man.
That was just like a piece of dialogue that they had to translate their own way at that time, I'm sure.
Ash sends out his Charizard. Famously doesn't listen to Ash because he's over level. And Pokemon don't listen to you if you're over level. Over level.
Yeah.
You have to earn badges. Because if you don't have enough badges, but you have a super powerful Pokemon, they won't listen to you because they don't respect you.
Yeah, you ain't shit, Ash. You ain't
shit, Ash.
He just busts out and starts blowing fire right away. And Mew's like, that's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Or Mewtwo's like, that's embarrassing. And Ash is like, no.
It's not trained very well.
Charizard, use your speed, not your power, and you'll win.
And Charizard's like,
it's not even true. It's the same creature. It's literally the same creature. How am I faster? You fucking idiot.
Yeah. He lives in a ball. He doesn't get a lot of calisthenics in, you know what I'm saying?
It's like Kit Laser fighting Kit Laser. It's like, hey, you know, use your brawn, not your brains.
Let's both be neurotic.
Yeah. Let's both be sad and cover it with inappropriate humor. No, not going to work.
Yeah, this poorly trained. So they all start fighting. Mewtwo makes short work of Corey's Venusaur, which I thought was funny. He named it Brew Brew. and Nisha gets her shocker destroyed.
He's insecure about that too. He's like, it doesn't have a nickname, but I have a Charizard.
I didn't really know you could do that.
I didn't know you could have emotional attachment to these things.
I just realized that my Ash Ketchum voice is just my Travis voice pitched up.
Ugh. This land of babes.
But yeah, all these dudes are just fucking glass cannons because their copies just hit them with one move and then pass out. They're eating shit. After Mewtwo beats them all, Mewtwo's like, all right, here's my prize. I'm going to take your Pokemon.
And but that means they'll live from the apocalypse. No, then he's going to kill him after he clones him. That's right.
Because he's a dick. But he sends out all these like scary looking Pokeballs. And there's this kind of chase scene where it's catching every Pokemon. Ash is trying to. I do like the scene where Ash like takes a bullet for Pikachu because all the balls are coming after him. Yeah. Like
the balls are hitting him in the back.
They're like hitting him in the back. Pikachu, run!
Run! I love you. Because he tries to put Squirtle and I think it's Venusaur.
Bulbasaur
in a. He doesn't level any of them up.
He's like, he can't catch him if they're already in their balls.
Yeah, they can.
Which is pretty good logic.
Sure.
But that's true. But then Brock, that's not true.
For some reason, he's like, we'll just hold him. Yeah, that'll fucking work.
Well, you know, it kind of did because the only Pokemon that isn't captured for cloning is Misty's Togepi, which was in her backpack.
Oh.
So there you go. Maybe there's some truth to that. Do you think Misty ever brings up like, hey, you guys remember that time when my Pokemon was the only one that didn't get captured because I'm a real G?
She's got one of the most useless Pokemon on the planet, though.
Togepi?
Yeah.
Or Psyduck?
Both of them. Misty's actually just a bunch of dumb, cute Pokemon that do nothing.
Well, I mean, she's a water gym
leader. Why is he the same voice actor as the guy that does the robot in Power Rangers?
Oh, Alpha?
Zordon, the Rangers.
Psyduck. Oh, wrong show.
Yeah, so the balls are entering a machine. That's where the cloning happens. Cloning starts. At one point, Ash and Pikachu run up a big spiral staircase and Pikachu falls and Ash is like, I'll jump off a 12-story
for some reason
to catch my little pet.
He loves that thing.
I get it. If that but happened to Pippin, I would do that. No, Pippin the dog, don't.
I seem to be falling.
I'm going down.
Pippin down.
Cheerio.
But Ash is like, no, you're not. So eventually one of the balls captures Pikachu, but Ash is like, still not going to let it go. He chases him down into the machine and like all the little.
It's harrowing.
It's scary. Like he's jumping into a machine. You don't know how this works. That could literally grind him up, but he doesn't care. He's got to save his friend.
He does.
And he ends up by ripping Pikachu out of this machine and ends up breaking it. So it can't happen anymore.
He frees all the Pokemon.
There is a funny moment where all the trainers Pokemon are going into the machine and Jesse and James are still down there and they're still looking at the silhouettes going they fuck up. There's a silhouette of Scyther because that's one of Corey's Pokemon and Jesse and James are like Alakazam. So they don't even know what the fuck the Pokemon are. It's kind of funny.
You mean that you think that was a showrunner or like the creator's mistake or you think that was like an Easter egg that Jesse and James are dumb.
Oh, I'm sure that was a mistake in the dubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be. I don't think they're that smart.
I didn't even catch that because I heard because it wasn't the spoon silhouette or anything. It was Scyther.
Yeah, it was a Scyther. Because, none of these trainers have an Alakazam there even. So it doesn't make sense they would say him. So he breaks the machine. And that's when Ash leads all of the freed originals back onto the stadium. And there's like this like
epic.
Epic, I'm you know, astronaut slow-mo walking scene. Yeah.
Oh, from like, you talking about the Michael Bay movie?
Which one? I mean, Michael Bay does that a lot. Yeah.
With Bruce Willis and Liv Tyler and fucking.
Oh, Armageddon?
Armageddon.
Yeah.
That's what you meant, right?
Well, I think that's a thing that, what was the really old one with Ed Harris? I think it originated from that. The Right Stuff or something?
No, maybe. That's a good movie.
Yeah. I think that shot is often imitated, but it originates from that, I think. So you're like, what is Ash's grand plan to stop this really smart, great master of
Pokemon? Who's already beat all these Pokemon.
Psychic dude who just throws people. What is, Chris, hit him with it. What is Ash's master plan?
I mean, he's just going to not let it happen, bro.
No, sir, not on his watch. Uh-uh. No, he just runs up to Pikachu and goes to beat him up.
Or no, you mean Mewtwo.
Mewtwo, yeah.
Yeah, he's just going to punch him.
Yeah. So yeah, this is when Mewtwo's like, all right, bro, I'll just splatter your brains on the wall across the stadium for me. So he launches Ash, but right before Ash could have his brain smashed in, Mew pops in and saves the day, yeah, right?
Catches him in a big cute bubble and then starts playing around on it until Mewtwo attacks him.
I love anime. I feel like every anime has this one line that Mewtwo says, like, oh, can it be?
Yeah, there's that melodrama is a hallmark of the medium, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can it be that which I was cloned from? The original to my sequel?
I am the two? They are the one?
Do you think if Mewtwo existed in Stranger Things world, Dustin would have named him Mewtwo's?
Yes. But also he would be the Vecna.
That's true. That's true. So Mewtwo and Mew fight. It's a whole big thing. The clones and the original Pokemons are fighting. Mew, 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 Mew. I wrote that down. I don't know why. Oh, that's why. That's right. I think Meowth ends up talking to his clone, Meowth.
Yeah.
And so original Meowth can speak like people, right?
Yeah.
But his clone cannot. His clone just meow, 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 meow. And then Meowth goes, that's a good point.
Why can Meowth talk? Do you remember?
I don't remember why.
Because only Meowth and Mewtwo can talk, right?
Yeah, as far as I know. Yeah.
The rest of them are just like Bulbasaur.
Right. But they understand each other.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Pika.
Yeah. Apparently this Meowth is saying a Pokemon's real strength comes from the heart.
And Pikachu just is a conscientious objector.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not gonna fight my brother.
He lets clone Pikachu slap the piss out of him for like two or three solid minutes.
This sequence goes on way too long because it's just like Charizard's kind of like awkwardly entangling their necks around each other.
Yeah.
And it's just
they're mating.
And this is the thing that I think a lot of people hate, like the message, at least in this scene, where like Brock, Misty, Nurse Joy, who now knows she's Nurse Joy.
Oh, I snapped out of it. I'm hot.
They're all watching this Pokemon on Pokemon Crime. And they're going like, Pokemon weren't meant to fight like this. Motherfuckers, that's your job. Brock, Misty, you literally have a gym where people bring their Pokemon and they fight each other.
Yeah.
I guess you're like, they're against the whole like fighting without honor. Like there's no competition. That they're just... A fight to the death is wrong, I guess, they're just
slapping the piss out of each other.
But in a series about
fighting Pokemon.
Animals fighting, it's kind of weird to all of a sudden get on a high horse and be like, why can't Mewtwo see the folly of his ways, my guy?
Yeah, just get in my ball. I'd love to have you.
That would be really dope.
A Mewtwo?
Yeah.
You're not going to ever lose.
Actually, I got a Mewtwo on Pokemon Go.
Really?
And I remember being so happy with myself. It's
really hard to catch that, I bet.
It's only in raids. You have to do it in raids.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds difficult.
It's like you and 20 other people go to a gym and battle Mewtwo until it's weak, and then you all can catch him.
Everybody can catch him?
But you need like, because there's different ratings of raids, and he was a 5-star raid, which means you had to have at least like 10 people to do it. So
that's like, there's ways like forums to link up with strangers and do that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When I did it, I think I just happened to see like 5 other people at the park, and I was with 4 of my friends. We're like, guys, over here, follow me.
Is that back when Pokemon Go was hot?
No, I mean, Pokemon had a little bit of a resurgence in like COVID times. Uh-huh. And it was during COVID times. The long, long ago. But yeah, they fight. Pikachu won't fight back. Someone's got to take a stand and refuse to fight like Pikachu. So I think like Mewtwo and Mew are fighting, and they send like energy blasts at each other. And Ash runs in. He's like, someone's got to take a stand, and just gets in on both ends. He gets spit roasted by Mewtwo and Mew with their with their beams. And that results in him being turned to stone.
The whole stadium kind of gets iced over.
Mm-hmm. Pika, chill.
And Pika cries on him.
Yeah, I thought this was what you were talking about when you're like, I almost got emotional. Because I think it's the voice acting with Pikachu is...
It's very good.
Because he's trying to shock his friend back to life.
Yeah.
And, There was a whole thing about how Pokemon Tears like revived everybody in this ancient legend that the Russian lady was talking about. And so all the Pokemon are moved by Ash's sacrifice and they all shed tears, and the tears are what revives Ash back to life and everyone's happy.
Whee!
Yay! And through his sacrifice and everyone kind of saving Ash from that, Mewtwo has a realization where he's like, well, the true power is what we share deep inside. It's what you do with the gift of life that determines who you are.
Not the circumstances of your birth.
Let me wrap this up in a bow.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I'm okay with stuff like that because it's like for 7-year-olds, you know? Mm-hmm. And it is a good theme. I just think some of the animation is a little lackluster. And overall, again, like I said, I think it's a buy the Mewtwo toy is the vibe I get from this whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Buy more cards.
But everybody's mad I gave it 1 star. Like, this is literally one of the best Pokemon movies. You know, like,
this is one of the best Pokemon movies?
The comments are upset. This is a masterpiece.
I mean, I'm glad you like it.
Maybe they saw the Japanese version.
Maybe. That's true. They did remake this in 2020, actually. There's a
really?
It's almost like a shot-for-shot remake of this movie, but in like a 3D, more Pixar-esque art style. Mm. I watched like the last 10 minutes of it. It was like basically the same thing.
Interesting.
Mewtwo's like, I have learned my lesson. Let me take my clones with me wherever I go. Also, I'm going to wipe your memories because it's probably best if you don't remember this happened.
Yeah, super weird. My bad.
But everyone... He says he wipes his memories, but I feel like he actually like teleported them back through time because they end up back at that building on the pier, like with the Russian lady. Don't go into the storm. It's very dangerous now.
Yeah, because I was confused by that, too, because he didn't wipe the memories of the employees of that place. Mm-hmm. So they should have been like, welcome back. I told you not to go. Like, that would have been a way better writing.
Yeah.
You know, how long were you out there? You're lucky to be alive.
You're lucky you washed back up on the shore.
Something. Mm-hmm. I could have done it.
And exactly. You could have been writing this. And I love how Ash is like, well, I guess we're just here because we're here. Or maybe it was Brock that said it.
I go places sometimes.
So sometimes I put one foot in front of the other. I end up somewhere else.
Brock was just like, I'm still 6 to midnight.
Whoa, did you see that nurse? And as they're looking out over the sea, kind of reminiscing on what happened and why they've lost time and were probably abducted by aliens, Ash sees Mew. Playing around in the clouds, and Misty's like, you fucking idiot. You didn't see shit.
No, I saw a super rare Pokemon.
And Team Rocket is apparently stuck on New Island.
As they deserve.
They
were pretty nice on this episode.
Yeah, they seem to have learned a lesson. So it's a shame that they've forgotten that lesson.
That's true.
Thanks to Mewtwo.
How deep.
So that concludes Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. Before we leave, though, Chris.
Okay.
Ruben, the patron that forced us to watch this, has one final question, and I'm interested to see what your answer is.
Okay.
What would be your go-to 6 Pokemon team of any generation? I don't know if Chris is up to date with the games. If not.
Definitely not.
It could be the first generation, which is what's used for the movie. Thank you guys for being awesome human beings. I'm happy I've had the opportunity to know you both and support you both and hope to meet you one day. Big hug, my friends.
My team?
Yeah, your six Pokemon team.
I haven't played Pokemon since, when did those games come out that I was talking about when I was like 12?
Mid-90s.
Wow. So we're talking decades. I'm going to go Pikachu.
Of course, number one.
I'm going to go Charizard.
Bam.
I'm going to go Blastoise.
Bam.
I'm going to go Alakazam.
It's a good one. It's got the mustache.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go Pidgeot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go Gyarados.
That's a good list. I like that list. There you go. Well, I've got my boy Oshawott. He's my favorite. I've got.
I should have had a fighting Pokemon.
You love fighting Pokemon. I know.
Plus, like, you need one, right?
Yeah.
What's fighting strong against? I forget.
Fighting is strong against
psychic
bug. It's strong against.
No, it squashes them.
Yeah, it squashes. It's strong against normal types. Hold on, I actually have in my favorites on my right here. Here's the Pokemon typing system. Fighting is strong against normal, rock, steel, ice, dark. It's actually not. Strong against bug. I thought it was.
Oh, dark. Like, what's that one? It's just like two eyeballs in a black cloud. What Pokemon is that?
Haunter or Ghastly?
Yeah.
Ghastly, Haunter, Gengar.
Those are cool.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good.
Anyway, go back to your team. I'm sorry.
So I got Oshawott.
Sure.
I got Alola-style Raichu. Have you seen Alola-style Raichu? It's basically Raichu, but his tail is a surfboard and he just kind of hovers on it because he's psychic electric.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
So Alola-style Raichu, Decidueye, which is like a ghost grass owl bird, which is, I fucking love him. Toxtricity, which is like a poison electric dude that like plays the guitar. He's dope.
Pokemon got wild.
I know, it's so good. What am I at? Four? I need a couple more. Shoot. I'm blanking. There's this dragon type that shoots smaller dragons out of its face from Sword and Shield. I can't remember his name. He's dope. I loved him. And I need one more. I'm gonna go with I need a fire. I haven't had a fire type yet. I need a fire type.
Charmeleon.
No. Let me go with, I'm gonna go with what's a cute, like Cyndaquil. He's cute.
I don't know who that is.
He's cute.
My son has a card. It was like a holographic one. It's like a fighting Pokemon looking guy but it looks like an X-Men character. It was fucking wild. He looked really cool. And I was like, this is my favorite card, son.
Son, you have found my favorite card.
Ooh, Skeledirge. Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah. That's sweet. Oh, Fuecoco is adorable. Yeah, that's a good one.
That looks cool. You like the cute ones. I like the badass ones.
I am a cute. I'm a slut for cute things.
There's a fucking giraffe.
Oh, yeah. That thing's dope.
Fire giraffe. Oh, look at this Cerulege. What the fuck? That's cool.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a ghost steel type.
Yeah, what's a ghost steel? You guys are just making shit up now.
You had ghost types in the first game.
Graphii. Cyclizar. Look at this little, it's a candle dog.
Grievard. It's a candle dog. Pokemon's the best, man. You're right. This really does make me want to go back and just boot up one of the Pokemon games right now and start playing again.
Do you want a Gimmighoul chest form?
Oh, fuck those things. It's just a
thing in a box. Ooh, yeah. Look at this Corridon.
Oh, that's the Scarlet dude.
Iron Valiant. These things are amazing looking. Yeah. A roaring moon.
I love that you're discovering the newest gen of Pokemon in real speed.
There's like 800 Pokemon I've never seen. So
yeah,
it's going to be.
Yeah, I think they're at over 1,000 now. Which
too
is
much.
Nuts. Yeah.
Too many.
That's why when you're like pick six of them, like my brain's
brain
like
overload. I mean, it was easy. I just had to remember six. Mm-hmm.
I pretty much just pick four of my starters I use from all different games. And yeah, there you go.
Anybody with a Snorlax, I think, is go-to for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though they'd be cool to sleep on.
Oh, Snorlax would be great. So have you seen cuddly. Those like giant beanbags yes. that are shaped like Snorlax?
And I wanted one.
Yeah.
I do have a giant beanbag in my daughter's nursery. Mm-hmm. It takes up like half the room. It's ridiculous. It's so
just
comfortable.
Don't play a flute because then your beanbag might leave. Yeah, remember how you had to play the flute to wake it up and get it to
because it would be like blocking the path,
right?
Yeah, got to. But yeah, thank you, Ruben, for all your support. He actually got me John Wick 4 Steelbook.
Oh, did he?
Which is an amazing gift. I treasure it. I treasure it. It's on the shelf.
He's a G.
He is very, very cool. Ardent supporter. We will talk about Game of Thrones one day, Ruben, for you. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
I was actually watching it yesterday, filled with loathing for all of my fans that don't like it. Thinking about you, Enzo, the whole time.
It's a thing in Discord where Game of Thrones pops up and it starts a civil war. It's kind of funny.
I know Erica hates it too. I just don't understand, you know? It's such a good show.
You know, it can be heavy for some people, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a very dark show. Mm-hmm. Very a lot going on. But swords,
dragons,
magic,
zombies.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But anyway, speaking of all those things, Pokemon, everybody. Don't forget to catch them all. Be the best like no one ever was. And until next time, email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. If you want to make us watch movies like Pokemon, go to streamingthingspod.com. That's not what I said at all. Patreon.com/streamingthings. But you can also go to streamingthingspod.com.
Yeah,
wonderful website. That's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. We love you all so much. Thank you for listening. My name is Kit Laser.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things.
Pikachu!
I was trying to think of a Pokemon thing. Pokemon! I'm Brock, and I'm rock hard.
I'm rock hard. I'm also got my eyes closed constantly.
Everybody's rock hard at my gym.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.